we invite you to tune in to our 24/7 internet radio. It is loaded with edifying sermons, music, and other programs. You can listen to Stream Globe Radio at www.streamglobe.org.
Today's Stream Globe devotional is titled The Mystery. Today's meditation was written by Pastor S.D. Abraham. We shall take our Bible reading from Romans chapter 11, verse 25 to 26. For I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers and sisters, so that you may not be conceited. A partial hardening has happened to Israel until the full number of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come out of Zion. He will remove ungodliness from Jacob. I have just read from the New English Translation. One reason the timing of the Lord's return remains hidden is because of divine mysteries like the one revealed in today's passage. Scripture reveals that a certain number of Gentiles must come into the kingdom before the Lord returns. This is why Jesus said the gospel of the kingdom must be preached to the ends of the earth. See Matthew 24:14. And it's why the apostle Peter wrote that we can hasten the coming of the Lord. 2 Peter 3:12. How do we do this? By actively making disciples, not just converts, but sons who reflect Christ's nature, character, and authority. Only the Father knows how many must be gathered in, but we do know this. Thrones in God's eternal kingdom are reserved for sons, those who have been conformed to Christ and entrusted with rulership. These are believers who grow beyond mere church attendance into maturity and obedience. They've allowed the Spirit to forge in them the likeness of the King. Go into today remembering that your faithfulness plays a part in the fulfillment of this great mystery. Don't measure your days by comfort or convenience. Measure them by kingdom impact. Let it be said of you at the end, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Today's yearly Bible reading shall be taken from 2 Samuel chapters 1 to 4. This Bible reading plan is continuous. If you begin with us today, by this time next year, you will have gone through the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. The reading comes up next, 2 Samuel chapters 1 to 4.
The book of 2 Samuel. After the death of Saul, David returned from striking down the Amalekites and stayed in Ziklag 2 days. On the third day, a man arrived from Saul's camp with his clothes torn and dust on his head. When he came to David, he fell to the ground to pay him honor.
"Where have you come from?"
David asked him. He answered,
"I have escaped from the Israelite camp."
"What happened?"
David asked.
"Tell me."
"The men fled from the battle,"
he replied.
"Many of them fell and died, and Saul and his son Jonathan are dead."
Then David said to the young man who brought him the report,
"How do you know that Saul and his son Jonathan are dead?"
"I happened to be on Mount Gilboa,"
the young man said.
"And there was Saul, leaning on his spear, with the chariots and their drivers in hot pursuit. When he turned around and saw me, he called out to me. And I said, 'What can I do?' He asked me, 'Who are you?' 'An Amalekite,' I answered. Then he said to me, 'Stand here by me and kill me. I'm in the throes of death, but I'm still alive.' So I stood beside him and killed him, because I knew that after he had fallen, he could not survive. And I took the crown that was on his head and the band on his arm and have brought them here to my lord."
Then David and all the men with him took hold of their clothes and tore them. They mourned and wept and fasted till evening for Saul and his son Jonathan, and for the army of the Lord and the house of Israel because they had fallen by the sword. David said to the young man who brought him the report,
"Where are you from?"
"I am the son of a foreigner, an Amalekite,"
he answered. David asked him,
"Why weren't you afraid to lift your hand to destroy the Lord's anointed?"
Then David called one of his men and said,
"Go strike him down!"
So he struck him down, and he died. For David had said to him,
"Your blood be on your own head. Your own mouth testified against you when you said, 'I killed the Lord's anointed.'"
David took up this lament concerning Saul and his son Jonathan, and he ordered that the people of Judah be taught this lament of the bow. It is written in the book of Jasher, "A gazelle lies slain on your heights, Israel. How the mighty have fallen. Tell it not in Gath, proclaim it not in the streets of Ashkelon, lest the daughters of the Philistines be glad, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised rejoice. Mountains of Gilboa, may you have neither dew nor rain, may no showers fall on your terraced fields, for there the shield of the mighty was despised, the shield of Saul, no longer rubbed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the flesh of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan did not turn back. The sword of Saul did not return unsatisfied. Saul and Jonathan, in life they were loved and admired, and in death they were not parted. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. Daughters of Israel, weep for Saul, who clothed you in scarlet and finery, who adorned your garments with ornaments of gold. How the mighty have fallen in battle. Jonathan lies slain on your heights. I grieve for you, Jonathan, my brother. You were very dear to me. Your love for me was wonderful, more wonderful than that of women. How the mighty have fallen. The weapons of war have perished." In the course of time, David inquired of the Lord,
"Shall I go up to one of the towns of Judah?"
he asked. The Lord said,
"Go up."
David asked,
"Where shall I go?"
"To Hebron,"
the Lord answered. So David went up there with his two wives, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David also took the men who were with him, each with his family, and they settled in Hebron and its towns. Then the men of Judah came to Hebron, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. When David was told that it was the men from Jabesh-Gilead who had buried Saul, he sent messengers to them to say to them,
"The Lord bless you for showing this kindness to Saul, your master, by burying him. May the Lord now show you kindness and faithfulness, and I too will show you the same favor because you have done this. Now then, be strong and brave, for Saul, your master, is dead. And the house of Judah has anointed me king over them."
Meanwhile, Abner, son of Ner, the commander of Saul's army, had taken Ish-bosheth, son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim. He made him king over Gilead, Asherai, and Jezreel, and also over Ephraim, Benjamin, and all Israel. Ish-bosheth, son of Saul, was 40 years old when he became king over Israel, and he reigned 2 years. The house of Judah, however, remained loyal to David. The length of time David was king in Hebron over the house of Judah was 7 years and 6 months. Abner, son of Ner, together with the men of Ish-bosheth, son of Saul, left Mahanaim and went to Gibeon. Joab, son of Zeruiah, and David's men went out and met them at the pool of Gibeon. One group sat down on one side of the pool and one group on the other side. Then Abner said to Joab,
"Let's have some of the soldiers get up and fight hand to hand in front of us."
"All right, let them do it,"
Joab said. So they stood up and were counted off. 12 men for Benjamin and Ish-bosheth, son of Saul, and 12 for David. Then, each man grabbed his opponent by the head and thrust his dagger into his opponent's side, and they fell down together. So that place in Gibeon was called Helkath Hazurim. The battle that day was very fierce, and Abner and the Israelites were defeated by David's men. The three sons of Zeruiah were there, Joab, Abishai, and Asahel. Now Asahel was as fleet-footed as a wild gazelle. He chased Abner, turning neither to the right nor to the left as he pursued him. Abner looked behind him and asked,
"Is that you, Asahel?"
"It is,"
he answered. Then Abner said to him,
"Turn aside to the right or to the left. Take on one of the soldiers and strip him of his weapons."
But Asahel would not stop chasing him. Again, Abner warned Asahel,
"Stop chasing me! Why should I strike you down? How could I look your brother Joab in the face?"
But Asahel refused to give up the pursuit. So Abner thrust the butt of his spear into Asahel's stomach, and the spear came out through his back. He fell there and died on the spot. And every man stopped when he came to the place where Asahel had fallen and died. But Joab and Abishai pursued Abner, and as the sun was setting, they came to the hill of Ammah near Gaia, on the way to the wasteland of Gibeon. Then the men of Benjamin rallied behind Abner. They formed themselves into a group and took their stand on top of a hill. Abner called out to Joab,
"Must the sword devour forever? Don't you realize that this will end in bitterness? How long before you order your men to stop pursuing their fellow Israelites?"
Joab answered,
"As surely as God lives, if you had not spoken, the men would have continued pursuing them until morning."
So Joab blew the trumpet, and everyone came to a halt. They no longer pursued Israel, nor did they fight anymore. All that night, Abner and his men marched through the Arabah. They crossed the Jordan, continued through the morning hours, and came to Mahanaim. Then Joab stopped pursuing Abner and assembled the whole army. Besides Asahel, 19 of David's men were found missing. But David's men had killed 360 Benjamites who were with Abner. They took Asahel and buried him in his father's tomb at Bethlehem. Then Joab and his men marched all night and arrived at Hebron by daybreak. The war between the house of Saul and the house of David lasted a long time. David grew stronger and stronger, while the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker. Sons were born to David in Hebron. His firstborn was Amnon, the son of Ahinoam of Jezreel. His second, Kileab, the son of Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. The third, Absalom, the son of Maucah, daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. The fourth, Adonijah, the son of Haggith. The fifth, Shephatiah, the son of Abital. And the sixth, Ithream, the son of David's wife, Eglah. These were born to David in Hebron. During the war between the house of Saul and the house of David, Abner had been strengthening his own position in the house of Saul. Now Saul had had a concubine named Rizpah, daughter of Aiah. And Ishbosheth said to Abner,
"Why did you sleep with my father's concubine?"
Abner was very angry because of what Ishbosheth said, so he answered,
"Am I a dog's head on Judah's side? This very day I am loyal to the house of your father Saul and to his family and friends. I haven't handed you over to David. Yet now you accuse me of an offense involving this woman. May God deal with Abner, be it ever so severely, if I do not do for David what the Lord promised him on oath and transfer the kingdom from the house of Saul and establish David's throne over Israel and Judah from Dan to Beersheba."
Ishbosheth did not dare to say another word to Abner because he was afraid of him. Then Abner sent messengers on his behalf to say to David,
"Whose land is it? Make an agreement with me and I will help you bring all Israel over to you."
"Good," said David. "I will make an agreement with you, but I demand one thing of you.
Do not come into my presence unless you bring Michael, daughter of Saul, when you come to see me.
Then David sent messengers to Ish-bosheth, son of Saul, demanding,
Give me my wife Michael, whom I betrothed to myself, for the price of 100 Philistine foreskins.
So Ish-bosheth gave orders and had her taken away from her husband Paltiel, son of Laish. Her husband, however, went with her, weeping behind her all the way to Buharim. Then Abner said to him,
Go back home.
So he went back. Abner conferred with the elders of Israel and said,
For some time you have wanted to make David your king. Now do it. For the Lord promised David, By my servant David I will rescue my people Israel from the hand of the Philistines and from the hand of all their enemies.
Abner also spoke to the Benjamites in person. Then he went to Hebron to tell David everything that Israel and the whole house of Benjamin wanted to do. When Abner, who had 20 men with him, came to David at Hebron, David prepared a feast for him and his men. Then Abner said to David,
Let me go at once and assemble all Israel for my lord the king, so that they may make a covenant with you, and that you may rule over all that your heart desires.
So David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. Just then, David's men and Joab returned from a raid and brought with them a great deal of plunder. But Abner was no longer with David in Hebron, because David had sent him away, and he had gone in peace. When Joab and all the soldiers with him arrived, he was told that Abner, son of Ner, had come to the king, and that the king had sent him away, and that he had gone in peace. So Joab went to the king and said,
What have you done? Look, Abner came to you. Why did you let him go? Now he is gone. You know Abner, son of Ner. He came to deceive you and observe your movements and find out everything you are doing.
Joab then left David and sent messengers after Abner, and they brought him back from the cistern at Syrah. But David did not know it. Now when Abner returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside into an inner chamber as if to speak with him privately. And there, to avenge the blood of his brother Asahel, Joab stabbed him in the stomach, and he died. Later, when David heard about this, he said,
I and my kingdom were forever innocent before the Lord concerning the blood of Abner, son of Ner. May his blood fall on the head of Joab and on his whole family. May Joab's family never be without someone who has a running sore or leprosy or who leans on a crutch or who falls by the sword or who lacks food.
Joab and his brother Abishai murdered Abner because he had killed their brother Asahel in the battle at Gibeon. Then David said to Joab and all of Joab's men,
Tear your clothes and put on sackcloth and walk in mourning in front of Abner.
King David himself walked behind the bier. They buried Abner in Hebron, and the king wept aloud at Abner's tomb. All of Joab's men wept also. The king sang this lament for Abner.
Should Abner have died as the lawless died, your hands were not bound, your feet were not fettered. You fell as one falls before the wicked.
And all of Joab's men wept over him again. Then they all came and urged David to eat something while it was still day. But David took an oath, saying,
May God deal with me, be it ever so severely, if I taste bread or anything else before the sun sets.
All of Joab's men took note and were pleased. Indeed, everything the king did pleased them. So on that day, all of Joab's men and all Israel knew that the king had no part in the murder of Abner, son of Ner. Then the king said to his men,
Don't you realize that a great commander has fallen in Israel this day? And today, though I am the anointed king, I am weak. And these sons of Zeruiah are too strong for me. May the Lord repay the evildoer according to his evil deeds.
When Ish-bosheth, son of Saul, heard that Abner had died in Hebron, he lost courage, and all Israel became alarmed. Now Saul's son had two leaders of raiding bands. One was named Beunah, and the other Rechab. They were sons of Rimmon, the Beorothite from the tribe of Benjamin. Beeroth is considered part of Benjamin, because the people of Beeroth fled to Gittaim and have resided there as foreigners to this day. Jonathan, son of Saul, had a son who was lame in both feet. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel. His nurse picked him up and fled, but as she hurried to leave, he fell and became disabled. His name was Mephibosheth. Now Rechab and Beunah, the sons of Rimmon, the Beorothite, set out for the house of Ish-bosheth, and they arrived there in the heat of the day while he was taking his noonday rest. They went into the inner part of the house as if to get some wheat, and they stabbed him in the stomach. Then Rechab and his brother Beunah slipped away. They had gone into the house while he was lying on the bed in his bedroom. After they stabbed and killed him, they cut off his head. Taking it with them, they traveled all night by way of the Arabah. They brought the head of Ish-bosheth to David at Hebron and said to the king,
"Here is the head of Ish-bosheth, son of Saul, your enemy who tried to take your life. This day the Lord has avenged my lord the king against Saul and his offspring."
David answered Rechab and his brother Beunah, the sons of Rimmon, the Beorothite,
"As surely as the Lord lives, who has delivered me out of every trouble, when someone told me Saul is dead and thought he was bringing good news, I seized him and put him to death in Ziklag. That was the reward I gave him for his news. How much more when wicked men have killed an innocent man in his own house and on his own bed? Should I not now demand his blood from your hand and rid the earth of you?"
So David gave an order to his men, and they killed them. They cut off their hands and feet and hung the bodies by the pool in Hebron. But they took the head of Ish-bosheth and buried it in Abner's tomb at Hebron.
You have just listened to Stream Globe Devotional. Stream Globe is non-denominational and interdenominational. We encourage you to share this devotional and let's touch lives together. To learn more about this ministry and get more of our resources, visit streamglobe.org.